Welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. I am glad you're here hanging out on my back porch with me. I've missed you. It's been an entire month since we've been on the back porch, and we have a lot to talk about. That being the case, we're going to jam a lot into this little episode on the back porch. So hold on to your belt, kick off your boots, and let's do this. Everybody, I am glad you're here on the back porch. Are you ready to take the humanist of the day to the woodshed? Well, heck, you know I sure am. Well, I hope over the past month you have been standing for Christ. You've been not being a snowflake, but standing strong, having a spine of steel because you fear God and not man. Because we need it. We need it in times like this. I hope you've gone back and listened to my episode on circling the wagons, because as time continues to get closer and closer to January 6th, when Congress convenes and we should know for sure who is going to be in the White House over the next 4 years, we do know this, that America is ripe for the judgment of God. We as a nation have turned our back on His ways and on His law, and because of that, well, we're going to get the hammer. We're going to get disciplined. We're going to get a spanking as a nation. And so what we want to do as God's people is position ourselves in a way that we come out on top, where we come out ruling over the pagans, where we come out ruling over the humanists and the leftists, because have no fear. Even though they sprout up and flourish for a season, we know that the righteous will inhabit the land and the wicked will be removed from it. And we know that because that's what God says. And we're not playing super spiritual funny games with what the Bible says. We actually believe what it says, right? So that's the kind of people that we are called to be. And that's the kind of people we are striving to be. So the reason why I cited the episode Circling the Wagons that we did last month is because there was a key item, a key line item that I left off of the list of things to do, to prepare for the next season in circling the wagons. And it's very appropriate this time of year to talk just a little bit about the last item of circling the wagons. Are you ready? Here it is. Feasting. Feasting. We need to be a people who feast, right? We need to be a people that are really good at celebrating. Like I've said before, Christians have a monopoly on joy. We have a monopoly on hearts that overflow, right? Because we've been reconciled to God, because our guilt has been appeased. Our sin has been removed. Our sin has been forgiven by Christ. So we're not walking around with guilty consciences. We're not the ones walking around enslaved to the devil, like the left is, like humanists are, like unbelievers are, like the atheists are, or the agnostics. We are people that are as bold as a lion. Why? Because our sins have been forgiven. All right, but the wicked flee when no one pursues them. That's the kind of people that the wicked are, in stark contrast to the righteous, who are as bold as a lion. So because we are as bold as a lion, I sure as heck hope you're not wearing a face mask. I hope that after all this time that you are pushing back, that you don't care about getting the stink eye when you go into the restaurant or you go into the store, and that you are defying tyrants and obeying God. Because again, yet again, if we don't defy tyrants, they're going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and stomp their steel-toe boots on our faces and on our businesses, on our homes, and all on our holidays. We ain't got no time for that. Because we are a free people. So I've mentioned before briefly about the three forms of tithing laid out for us in Deuteronomy. Now this is pertinent when we talk about feasting, because the three forms of tithing that Christians are supposed to be engaged in is not just tithing 10% to the church. That would be similar to the priest tithe of the Old Testament. The third tithe is a tithe to the poor, So we're not only supposed to give our tithes, but our offerings to the poor and needy as well. And there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that, but we won't talk about that this time on the back porch. But I want to hone in on the second tithe. The second tithe is the feast tithe. So God, being such a good God, tells us that we need to set aside a large chunk of our income for the purpose of celebrating. Celebrating. We're not the grumpy, miserly, ticked off liberals out there. We're fighting our fight with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face because God prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Right, so this is in Deuteronomy. It says that you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. And before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain. You shall eat it. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe when the Lord your God blesses you, because the place is too far for you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses and spend the money for whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, maybe a little buffalo trace, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Right? We're not individuals. We're not individualistic. We're in families. We're in covenant bodies and in households. And that's how we as men need to think of ourselves. Not just us, but me and my household. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Right? Going on here. And you shall not neglect the Levite or your pastor who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. Well, bless me, bless the work of my hands. Even if Joe Biden's in office, even if AOC is trying to shove that horrible vaccine into our veins, well, yeah, even then, even don't let her stick the vaccine in your veins, that cocktail, that humanist, you know, wizardly cocktail, don't stick that in your veins, but instead trust the Lord that he will bless the work of your hands and all that you do. That's Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 29. So what's the point? The point is, we are to feast. We are to celebrate before the Lord. Keep Christ central in your feasting, but feast. And feast with all your heart. And feast with praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. With your with your little wife next to you. And with your kids gathered around your table. There should be lots of laughter, lots of wine being poured, you know, lots of good food being eaten. Especially this time of year. And that's what's so important and pertinent and timely about talking about feasting in the presence of our enemies especially. All right, it's Christmas. Christ has come. This is cause for celebration. And a whole month of celebration, not just one little day, but celebrating the whole season of Advent. And actually, even going back before that, celebrating Thanksgiving. And what God has done for us as Americans, as American Christians in our nation. You know, George Washington once said that if you're not a Christian, then you cannot be a true patriot because you'll be advancing a different worldview, a different religion in the free nation that we have, that we had, that we're losing, right? Because the Canaanites are at the door and there's not enough strong men to keep them at bay. So we are to feast. So number one, we feast because God commands us to. And in that passage that we read out of Deuteronomy just a minute ago, it said in there that we might fear the Lord. So feasting, obeying God, and celebrating with all of our hearts, partying hard before Him, with Christ at the center of our party helps us to walk in the fear of the Lord. And then number two, we feast because it's a sign to our enemies of their destruction, like Paul says in the New Testament. And then thirdly, lastly, it equips our hearts with joy. In Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5 say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Even though the communists are at the door threatening to burn our homes and our businesses down, we will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of the Democrats. You prepare a table for me in the presence of the humanists, the atheists. You prepare a table for me in the presence of the leftists, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So what are we to do this Christmas season about the election that we still don't know what's going to happen? What do we do about the enemies that are at the gates? We feast. We lift up our hearts to the Lord. We celebrate because Christ has come and he rules the nations, and all that oppose him, they'll be crushed. Well, everyone, like I said, I've missed you. It's good to be back. Thanks for hanging out on Back Porch Theology. And until next time, keep your hand to the plow, remain steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord. And drink a good bottle of wine or a good IPA that makes you pucker up. But celebrate, because it's a sign to our enemies that their destruction is near.